So we decided that neither of us wanted to preach, and you didn't want that either. So we are going to give people an opportunity to hear one of our church family's own stories. And so Tiffany is going to share, and it'll give us a better understanding of who she is and how far the Lord has brought her from where she started. So welcome, Tiffany.
This is what I say, desperate times call for desperate measures.
So, how did you come to give your life to Jesus?
First, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. So if anyone's here and you didn't grow up in a Christian home and you think, I feel alone, I've been there, felt that. But as you hear the story, you'll see how God provided. My parents separated when I was just a baby. So separation and divorce was actually very normal to me. I didn't think too much of it. It was just my life. I continued to see both of my parents, and to this day have a great relationship with both of them. But I wondered all through my childhood, what is life about? Is there a God? If there is he really real? Did he create me? Did he create the whole world? I knew there had to be something. And then grade 11 came. I didn't know grade 11 would change my life. But God was up to something, and I had no idea what I was in for. I went into one of my classes, sat behind who I thought was just a normal teenager. But he wasn't. He was a Christian, and he had a mission. We ended up building a friendship and a relationship. He never told me he was a Christian. He never threw a Bible in my face. He never even quoted scripture. He was just a friend. He was kind, and he was different. His mission was actually to point me to Jesus, the only one who could save my soul. In Acts 4, verse 12, it says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." One day, he invited me to church. I don't even remember being skeptical about it at all. I just said, sure. Right there, I think, and this is speaking to myself, don't be afraid to invite someone, especially if you have a relationship with them where there's trust. Like I said, I was willing. I said, sure, I'll come. And it was a Pentecostal church, so he did warn me. He warned me, like, this is going to be different for you. And I said, okay. I was okay with different, especially when you're searching. So, one day, one morning, on a Sunday, I walked into Bethel Pentecostal Church in Ottawa. And the journey of my walk with God started. I don't remember it being a big moment. It wasn't an exact date that I can tell you about. It was more of a slow, gradual process, where I started attending youth group, I met some pretty great people, and Jesus started to work on me. He started to change me, and he started to complete me. In Galatians 2, verse 20, it says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And I started to realize that he loved me and he gave his life for me. That was grade 11, so there wasn't much high school life left. It was time for college, to leave home, to leave youth group, to leave church. I was worried. I was worried I would lose all the Christian people God had put in my life. Because I'm not sure about you, but Christian people, Christian friends, maybe you have Christian family. I don't have a lot of Christian family. I have a great family, but they weren't Christians. I wanted to say right there, too, that through my whole life of becoming a Christian, God has provided the most amazing friendships, the most amazing people in my life. So I applied. I didn't have good marks in high school, by the way. So I applied in Ottawa and in Pembroke, because back then, you just got into Pembroke no matter what. So I didn't get into Ottawa, but I got into Pembroke. So mind was made up. I had to come. My dad lived here, so I had some comfort here in terms of I lived with him. And once I moved here, I knew I wanted to find a good church. So I tried out a few. I remember looking through the phone book, and I didn't look on the internet, I looked in the phone book, and I looked up churches in Pembroke. Tried out a few, and finally, one day, one Sunday, came to PPT. And mostly I would come to evening services because I would go home and see my mom on the weekends. So came to evening services, and once I found PPT, I knew it was home, almost right away. Once again, God took care of me.
So that brought you to PPT, and how did you meet and begin your journey with Matt?
Okay, well, this is a good one. I wouldn't say I found Matt or he found me. I would say Karen found me.
Good find.
I remember her and Neil coming to me one Sunday evening and Karen telling me, I have a son for you. And she was talking about Matt, but she did remind me that if I didn't want him, she had another one. So I was covered. At that time, Matt wasn't even actually here. He was in the Toronto area. So I would continue to come to church on Sunday evenings here. And every Sunday evening, I would talk to Neil and Karen. And there were moments where I thought, this isn't going to work. Like, this is crazy. This isn't going to happen. But these two people encouraged me. Karen would remind me, I'm praying for you. I didn't have that with my parents. I had very loving parents, but not ones that prayed for me. I even remember where I was standing in this sanctuary when she said, I want you to know Jesus is praying for you too. Well, the rest is history. Because Matt and I ended up meeting, totally arranged by his parents. We ended up getting married, had two girls. And if that's not modern day arranged marriage, I don't know what is. But looking at it now, it actually was ordained by God. He had plans from the beginning. And he also provided me with spiritual parents.
So how has God been leading you in your journey, and what lessons has God been teaching you as you grow spiritually?
So the scripture that came to me with that question was in Psalms 121. I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade and your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. When I look at my life and how God has led me in my journey, I am so amazed at his goodness and his faithfulness. He has watched over me from the very beginning, even when I didn't know him. I debated on sharing this next part. It's personal, deep struggle, but maybe there's someone here who also has struggled. Somehow, anxiety and fear crept into my life. There's been some pretty hard times in the past 11 years. God didn't promise that this life would be so easy. He didn't promise that we wouldn't have struggles, that we wouldn't have doubt or fear or anxiety. But it says, cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. If you're here and you struggle, I can truly say, I understand. You know, we come to church in our nice church clothes and our hair done. If you saw me on a Tuesday at the grocery store, you probably wouldn't even recognize me. So we come here, we look good, we have our nice clothes on, we say hi, we smile, maybe we have a coffee. But I think all of us have had some deep, dark struggles. You're not alone. And I have a good life. I have no real reason for those things. But God has never, ever left me through these times. He has provided amazing people in my life, in this church, in my family, who have been there for me. He's held me and he's kept me. And I do believe that these struggles actually have made me grow in him. They've really made me depend and rely on God. Because when everything's good, sometimes we just take things for granted. But when you struggle and things are hard, you have to rely on him. Amen. They've kept me close to him. I said to someone not long ago, sometimes in my hardest and darkest moments, they're also the most beautiful and the most hopeful somehow. I know to the world that doesn't make sense, but when you know Jesus, those things make sense.
So I think it's interesting that when Tiffany met the Lord, she was invited to a youth group. So it is so fitting that she's our youth leader because she totally gets when people come to the youth room and are just maybe outsiders. They don't know Jesus. So she's come, she understands where they're coming from. So since you've been leading our youth, Tiffany, what have you been learning?
First, I can't even believe that he's allowed me to do this. When I started helping out in youth, I thought, okay, I can do this. I can help out. I can be a helper. And it actually was Pastor Christy I was working with. She did a great job, and I thought, I can be here, I can love on these kids, I can do this. I was very timid, and I was not very confident in my leadership role. I still have wondered, God, why would you want to use me? Just a normal, simple girl. I didn't feel I actually even had much to offer. But as time went on, again, God had different plans, and he knew them. 2017-2018 is when I actually became the youth leader, and God started to really grow me. As I started to look for curriculum, build relationships with these young people, deal with parents, sometimes in a good way, sometimes in a hard way, I never imagined that he would let me be such a big part of these young people's lives. I still can't imagine. I can't believe it when I think about it. I've cried with these youth. I've laughed with them. I've prayed with them. They've prayed with me, too. I've talked with them when they've had triumphs and when they've had trials. I've seen them grow in their faith. I've also seen some walk away. And I'm still amazed that he chose me to be leading youth for this season. There's this quote. It says, God does not call the qualified, but he qualifies the called.
That's right.
And I'm so grateful that he's done that. There'll be times when I'll be in this sanctuary on a Thursday morning. Maybe I'm vacuuming, dusting, whatever it may be. And I am so in awe that God brought me from where I was to where I am now. And that doesn't mean I wasn't into drugs or alcohol, anything like that, but he still carried me and brought me so far. And he can do that for you no matter what you're facing. So I walk through this church and I just think, God, you brought me here. And I'm so grateful.
Do you have any Bible verses that have spoken to you in this season? We all have Bible verses that from different seasons. We'll maybe read one and it will not really mean a whole lot to us, but then as we are growing and getting closer to the Lord or different seasons of life, is there anything that has spoken to you?
Mary Lynn and I actually talked about this yesterday, how I think you probably all have known, you read your Bible, a certain verse, maybe you've read it many times, but there's certain seasons where certain ones stick out to you more than other times. And in Ephesians, it says, this is the Message version, by the way, it says, God can do anything. You know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his spirit deeply and gently within us.
You know, we have a lot of fun in our staff meetings, and you get to know the real people, because we don't all have great days. We have some bad days, too. So we get to pray with each other and to support each other, and we love working with Pastor Paul. He's just awesome. And the fact that he puts up with three women every Tuesday for like 2.5 hours, like, I hope you know that somebody's got to be praying for him. But one of the things I've noticed, you know, in churches, a lot of times you'll meet the reverend whoever, and you'll meet the reverend youth pastor or the reverend worship pastor or children's pastor, and they've gone through the schooling and they've got their papers, and there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, that's great. That's awesome. But that's all learned. You go to college, you learn all those things. But one of the things that I've noticed with just working with Tiffany is she'll learn. She wants to learn. But what you can't teach certain people is the love that she just naturally has for our kids. And I'm sorry, I'm probably going to cry. Because I've met and I love those pastors. But I see the love that Tiffany has. And she aspires to what God wants for her. And that, to me, can't be taught. That's an ever-learning, and those kids are going to watch her. So thank you, Tiffany, for sharing your story.